people said, Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the truth that Jesus saves, a salvation full and free, a gift to us who had rejected you, who had turned away from you, and a gift that is perfect, every sin washed away, cleansed, the full righteousness of Christ applied to each of us, through no work of our own, no effort of our own, simply by trusting in him is how we receive this gift. And Father, we pray that everyone here today knows you, and if there's any who do not, we pray that as they hear the word proclaimed, as they hear the worship, as they hear the things that are shared, and as they talk with the believers here afterwards, that you will bring them to yourself, that they will see you love them, and you want them to be saved, a part of the kingdom, and on their way to heaven. Father, it is a joy to be with your people here today, and thank you that we can build each other up in our faith and point each of us to Christ. We pray that he'll be lifted high in this hour, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to hymn 578, Trusting Jesus. 578.
Well, good morning, everyone. Yes. Our announcements. Let's see, we have a service tonight at 6 o'clock. And then Tuesday night, Bible study and prayer at 7. Next Sunday is communion. And we're going to start this baby bottle blast, okay? Bringing in the bottles. We have the baby bottles. You take them home with you, fill them up, and bring them back. That's the idea, okay? This is for the Genesis Women's Center to help them with some of their expenses. All right. Today is missionary offering Sunday, so the plate is on the back table along with the regular offering. And let's see what else. We are going to be having our congregational meeting coming up May 4th, and the deacons, we have to have a meeting before that time, so we need to decide when we're going to do that. So let me know when we should be doing that, okay? Mother's Day, 9th of May already, huh? How about that? Be here before you know it. Be sure and honor all the mothers and remember those that have gone on before. So it's always a joy to think about the mothers and the work that they do, their love and their help to each one of us. Okay, on that day, Mother's Day, of course, we don't have an evening service because we want you to get together with your families if you can. All right. Did you notice the front of the bulletin? It says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Well, we've had several deaths. This seems to be awful close. Excuse me. Several deaths recently, and we want to be praying for those who have lost their loved ones. Nancy Smith lost her son, Glenn. He went up to be with the Lord, or at least I trust he did, this week. And Steve Gruen's sister-in-law passed away this week. She was a believer, and so she's gone to be with the Lord. And then we just learned yesterday, Jane Wagner's sister, Barbara, and her daughter were both found dead in their home. This was down in Tennessee, I believe. And keep all these folks in your prayers, as well as others, no doubt, that are experiencing sadness as well, many that are sick. It was mentioned as Carol Fabianovi. It's been coming recently. She has to have an endoscopy and the COVID test and all of that. So be praying for Carol during these days as well. And each woman, you know the needs that we have. All right, I have a letter here from our missionaries, the Trouts. They should be retired by now, but they're still busy working with ABWE and working with the older people and with the new missionaries and also teaching and doing various other things. So very, very faithful couple. This is his April letter. He says, God continues to direct us as we serve him. We appreciate your participation with us in our ministries. Here is some news of what God did during April. We enjoyed the ambassador gatherings, that's the older folks, that take place in different parts of the USA. On April 7th, 22 joined in a wonderful time of fellowship in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You know, that reminds me of something. Between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're supposed to have a fellowship at the Shady Maple Smorgasbord, right? So let's keep that in mind. I hope we can work that out. We'll have to see about that. We got a little time to think about that, but it's coming up. So everyone, I think, looks forward to that. I know I do. Okay. April 12th through the 16th, Lynn and I attended our annual Member Care Summit in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We enjoyed a time of training to help our member care team care for those whom we serve. Lynn and I have the privilege of serving our ambassadors, that is the retirees, about 300 in various parts of the United States and around the world. And then he gives a whole list here of the places where they're meeting and so forth. Says, please pray for our travels. We need good health, strength for the travels and meetings. Pray for our senior ambassador gatherings, California and Washington. Praise for the myriad of people who make these events possible. We're so thankful for the team God has given us in California and Washington as we coordinate these gatherings. Praise for those who will be attending. We have already enjoyed two reunions and look forward to two more. Also have additional meetings planned in Michigan and North Carolina. Praise for the wonderful family God has given to us, and praise for the faithful prayer and financial support that makes our ministries possible. It says, until he comes, Bob and Lynn Trout. So we want to pray for them as well as all of our other missionaries. Okay, let's read our scripture portion. In Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and smoke and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll stop at that point and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. We pray that you will speak to us today through your word as we see the coming of the Holy Spirit of God to initiate the new era, the new church. And Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way that we ought to go. We pray, our Father, today that you will bless and guide each one of us and help us to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will. Lord, we do want to pray for those today who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. We pray for each one. We pray for Steve Gruen and his family, his brother especially. Ask you to meet their needs. Be with him as he travels down there tomorrow. And we pray, dear Father, that you'd be with Jane Wagner. She's just learned about her sister and niece. We pray for strength for her. We pray also for Nancy Smith, our Father, and I ask you to be with her in a special way in the loss of her son. And Lord, we just ask you to help us. Help us to walk in fellowship with you and to do your will in all that we undertake. We pray for those who still do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might come to know you. Think of our families and friends and those that we are acquainted with, and just pray that they will come to you. You said whoever calls on the name of the Lord and trusts in Jesus as his Savior and Redeemer has eternal life. Lord, may that be so for many, many today. May our Lord Jesus be glorified through it all. Thank you for all your blessings and for your constant care. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You remember, this is the 120 believers that were praying in the upper room, waiting for the promise of the Father, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, I'm sure, but they were looking to the Lord to keep his promise and to do what he said he was going to do. So it said the day of Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? Well, this was a Jewish festival that was held some 50 days after the Passover, or after the, during that period of time, the first fruits, as they called it. It was the Passover celebration was about a week there. And 50 days later was Pentecost, which was celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. This was the reason for it initially. At Passover, the first sheaf reaped from the barley harvest was presented to God. At Pentecost, the first fruits of the wheat harvest was given to God. Also, Jewish tradition taught that Pentecost commemorated the day when the law was given to Israel. Now that's we're not sure about that, but that's their tradition. On this special Jewish holiday, there were many pilgrims from all over the world in Jerusalem. No doubt this was one reason why the Lord chose this day to send His Holy Spirit to empower His disciples to witness for Him and to begin the church. This is the birthday of the church, when it first began, a whole new dispensation, a whole new time that God is going to deal with people in a new way. So before leaving the disciples and ascending back to heaven, Jesus had given them a command and a promise. As we saw back in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this is, they were obeying the Lord in waiting, praying, watching for the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord here promised them that this was going to take place. And notice he refers to it here in two different ways. That first of all, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then also it speaks of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was going to take place there on that day. So looking here in chapter 2 again, we find that this was taking place on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the feast of the first fruits, after the resurrection, when Jesus came forth from the grave. So what do we see here? They're all together, all in one accord, praying and watching and waiting, and suddenly, all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You know, the word many times in the scriptures, the word for wind and the word for spirit is the same word, right? But this is it speaks here of something exciting that's happening. This isn't the still small voice that God used in the Old Testament. You remember? He talked to Elijah. And first of all, it said that Elijah was waiting and the wind went by and they made a lot of noise and all. And then he heard the still small voice and he went out and talked with God, right? The Lord doesn't always appear in the same way every time, does he? You know? He can speak to us in different ways. But here, it sounds, first of all, a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, it doesn't say it's wind, right? I don't think there's any wind involved here. It's the sound. What kind of a sound does it make when you have a tornado coming through? Or a hurricane or something? You know, all this noise. And I think it must have been something that was quite dramatic, because this is what drew the people to come and to hear what they had to say, right? They could hear it throughout the city of Jerusalem, apparently. The sound of this rushing mighty wind. Jesus had talked about this back in John chapter 3. John 3 verse 8, I think it is. Let's see here. 3. Here we go. I should have marked that one. I marked some others, but John 3, verse 8. is the wind blows wherever it listeth or wherever it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So here he's talking about the wind and the Spirit and all of this. And here we have the sound of the wind coming through. That's a story over in the book of Ezekiel. You remember about the house of Israel? And it says there that had a vision of the valley of dry bones. You know, they were all dead as a doornail, right? So to speak. You know, dried up. And then the wind came through and gradually they took on life. This is a picture of what the Holy Spirit does to animate those who are dead, to bring them to life, to spiritual life. Jesus said, you must be born again of the Spirit of God, right? It's the Holy Spirit who brings life. And here we find the sound of the mighty rushing wind. It says, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know, there was no mistaking about this. They knew something really exciting was going to happen. It filled all the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now notice that. It doesn't say that they were fire. Nobody got burned up or anything like that, you know. This was like fire. And my note here says that these were tongues as of fire, parting and sitting upon each one of them. So each person who was there experienced this. They had the tongue of fire upon them that they might receive all that God has for them here. And tongues of fire. As the verse it says, our God is a consuming fire. Takes away everything that's evil. And here he's giving them this experience. Tongues of fire. And it sat upon each one of them. Nobody was left out. These were all believers, no matter who they were, men, women, apostles, disciples. They all received this experience and the tongues of fire coming upon them. Fire, of course, purifies gold and silver and consumes the dross. It provides light and heat. But this is a symbol here. As I said, it wasn't literal fire, okay? But it symbolizes the fact that these are God's people that are receiving the Holy Spirit. As they had the Holy Spirit is the one who gave them this possibility. It sat upon each of them. And then the next verse says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus had said before, you're going to be baptized, just like John baptized in water, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are waiting here for this, and now it's taking place. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here they are all waiting. Jesus had promised this to them. Let's look back to John 14 and see what Jesus had said to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus here is giving his discourse, and he says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus, speaking here to the disciples, telling them, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the comforter, the helper, the one who will be with you continually, who will not only be with you, but be in you. And he will dwell with you and shall be in you. And then he says, I will come to you. So this is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come to indwell his people. Notice the world doesn't receive him. The world cannot. But only those who are his, those who believe in him and who trust in him and who have received him as their Lord and Savior, those are the ones who receive the Holy Spirit of God. And God, Jesus here is promising them that he is coming. Look in chapter 16 of John and verse 7. 16 verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's necessary. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So here we have the Holy Spirit of God whom Jesus had promised he would send to be with them and to guide them, to help them, and to reprove the world. Notice that. How does God reprove the world? Well, it says here that the Holy Spirit does it. And where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in us, right? So, in a sense, a believer who is walking with the Lord and being a witness for him reproves the world. You know, that might be one of the reasons why they persecute Christians, because it reproves them and it makes them uncomfortable, doesn't it? Yeah? The Holy Spirit is there, and he works through us and to do his will and to draw others to Christ. So this is what he's doing here, and filling these believers that they might be of service for Christ, that they might be witnesses of his resurrection especially. And notice here, this is a Jewish scene. We're still with the Jewish people mostly. And here in Jerusalem, as Jesus had said, start in Jerusalem. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, notice, devout men out of every nation under heaven. You know, they all gathered together on these festival days, and they came from all over to celebrate and to commemorate what God was doing. And here we find them gathering together, and they're listening. So it says in verse 6, when this was noised abroad, all of this commotion that was going on, the sound of the mighty wind and the disciples being there, speaking in various languages, the multitude came together and were confounded. Can you imagine? It would be a little bit confusing, wouldn't it, with all this going on. All of a sudden, here they're there to celebrate Pentecost, and all of a sudden, this is taking place. It had to make a big difference, I'm sure, in their way of thinking. And they were confused because every man heard them speak in his own language. I was reading about that this week. I don't know. There's all kinds of ideas as to what actually transpired here. You know, did they actually speak these different languages, or did the people just hear them speaking in a language that they understood? Well, that's kind of a little bit of a mystery to that, because they said all these men were Galileans. They naturally spoke Aramaic, I guess, or maybe Hebrew. But these other languages, how did they do that? Well, it says as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you notice here, talking about this in languages, people have the thing about speaking in tongues. You know, certain people think that we're still supposed to speak in tongues and so forth. But this was only, I believe, to begin the church and to make an impression on people. It's a couple of other times it's mentioned in the book of Acts, and then another kind of tongues over in 1 Corinthians. But at any rate, this was all as the Spirit gave them the ability to do it, right? And it was a special occasion at the beginning of the church age. So they all listened to them speaking, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Are not all these Galileans? How can they do this? Where is this coming from?" You could put yourself in their place and say, you know, what's going on here? And it lists out all the different places where they came from and the different dialects that they spoke or whatever, and different languages. This is not some unknown tongue. There's nothing unknown about it. They all understood in their own language what they were hearing, and God opened up their minds and hearts to receive it. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, "What does this mean?" You know, what does it mean? What are we doing here? Why, what's happening? So we find them here wondering about it. And then some said, "Oh, well, they must be drunk." You know, can you imagine what were they doing that made everyone think that they could be inebriated, huh? And Peter has to explain to them, no. He said, this is the fulfillment of Scripture. Over from the book of Job, he talks about this. He said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to explain it in the last days. So already here, at the day of Pentecost, first century, he says we're in the last days, right? This is what's going to happen. So it's already started. We talk about being in the last days today. We're at the tail end of the last days, I guess, right? We don't know when they're going to end. But he says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit is coming into the world in a dramatic way. He's going to come upon these believers. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. So it's going to make a real impression upon people as they begin this new age. He says, on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So here he's talking about putting people to work, right? The service. He says, my sons and my handmaidens, I'm going to fill them with the Spirit, pour out the Spirit upon them, baptize them in the Spirit, that they might be able to prophesy, speak forth the Word of God. And that's what was going on there at Pentecost, apparently. Now, the last part of this Prophecy is for something future. As you can see, he goes on to describe what's going to happen in the future. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, sun turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So this is a prophecy that goes on into the future and what is going to take place eventually when the day of the Lord comes. And it says there, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered from destruction. And so here we have this wonderful time when they were gathering together in this way to initiate the church. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now here I have a verse in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit are we, believers, all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So he says we all have been baptized into one body. This is speaking of the church universal. All believers, wherever they may be found, whether they be Jew or Gentile, no matter what state, status they might have in life, slave or free, we've all been made one in Christ and received His Spirit, and He gives out the gifts to those that He chooses. We all are to use those for service to the Lord. That's one of the main reasons that He has given us this, is so that we can serve Him in this world in which we live today. So here we find the beginning of the church. And that was born on the day of Pentecost. And then it began to grow quickly. We'll see this as we go along a little bit later. What happens in the church? But why did the church grow so quickly? How could it be so blessed? I think it has to be because the Holy Spirit came and this animated all of the believers, put them to work. They no longer had to wait. Jesus said, "Wait until the Holy Spirit comes." Once He comes, then you are to be witnesses in all these different places, beginning at Jerusalem. This is where they were, reaching out to the surrounding area in Judea, going out into Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. And we know here the disciples started out in that way right there in the city. The apostles remained in the city for a long time. The others went out into the surrounding areas, and when Paul came, of course, he began the great missionary movement into the rest of the world. So the church grew because of the divine person who came to indwell them and to animate them to go out and to serve the Lord. The church grew because and had a divine program that the Lord gave to them. He told them to go and witness. "You're my witnesses." And you know, as far as I can tell in the scriptures, that's still the program. That's still what we're supposed to be doing. Now these people, apparently, from what I understand in reading the rest of the book, they obeyed. They went out and they saw great progress. And this is still what the Lord would have us to be. He says, you shall be my witnesses. And this is the main task of the church. These were the last words that Jesus told his disciples before leaving, before ascending back to heaven. And the church grew because of the obeying the divine promises that he gave to them and seeking to follow in the way. It mentions here certain qualifications for the church and how it's going forth. Here we have those who are believers seeking to obey the Lord and to do His will, and the Holy Spirit of God coming to make all that possible. Now, Jesus said, I have to go away, because when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, and He indwells us. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. It's almost mind-boggling to think that God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. Wow. Isn't that something? And, you know, that's the reason I believe, you know, once a person receives salvation, once a person receives the Holy Spirit of God, He's there forever. He says He will be with you and He'll never leave you, right? So we can take consolation in the fact that He is always there and that we can trust Him for everything that we need. He gives the power. You know, this is something we need to believe. We need to realize that God has come, He lives in us, and we need to obey Him and do His will. And not be afraid. It's so easy sometimes to be afraid. But we need to allow the Lord to guide us and help us and make us the people that He wants us to be. You know, the early church was Spirit-guided in everything that they did. All of the leaders of the church were men of the Spirit. We find that. The Spirit was the source of the day-to-day courage and power that they had. And the early church was a Spirit-filled church that was able to go out and to proclaim the gospel to all the people. Now, they started, as we said, with the Jewish people. These early apostles, they went to them. And there was some prejudice and bias, you know. We'll find all this a little bit later. And until God sends them forth to reach the world, because Jesus died to save everyone that will come to Him, no matter what their nationality might be. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that the Holy Spirit is active today, and we are His instruments to use to spread the good news of salvation. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You for Your blessed Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way we ought to go. And we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to yield ourselves to You and to allow You to guide and help us and direct us in everything we do, and that we might be witnesses for Christ. Lord, take away the fear and help us to have courage, strength, and the ability to spread the good news of salvation to all that will listen. Lord, may Your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.